Hello, good morning and welcome to the Finance Show, tiptv.co.uk. It is 10 a.m. Thursday, the 8th of September. First things first, the really important stuff is just to thank the viewer who sent in a bottle of, a magnum of champagne as a celebration of my 50th birthday yesterday. I don't know what to do with it, really. It's too nice to open it, really. But thank you very much, and watch this space because there's going to be some mining slides that you'll like. This is to the viewer who's big on trading mining stocks. So the second most important thing is to introduce Alessio Ristani from LeadingTrader.com. How are you today, Alessio?
Thanks for having me. Good to be here. Thanks, Zach.
Right.
So happy 50th birthday.
I think you're 10 years... I mean, 10 years younger than me. She's really irritating.
Another 10 years, and I hope I can be still as young as you. And hopefully that viewer will... 10 years time, be here to give me one of these magnum of champagne.
I'm sure you'll keep your hair more successfully than I have. But got a couple of questions on the markets, trending questions. Do you expect anything from the ECB today?
Well, their expectation is that ECB is going to cut, they're going to introduce more QE. That's what they're expecting. Whether we're going to get it, it's another thing. We've seen strength in the euro the last few days. I personally think that we're going to see the euro continue to move lower. I think the last few days of strength probably won't last, but we'll see. So I think there's a consensus that they're going to essentially introduce more QE. We'll have to wait and see whether they deliver or not. And I think they should, put it this way. I think that's certainly what they should be doing.
Right, but the funny thing is, as funny as anything could be in this sphere, is that the ECB and the BOJ were looking for the Fed to hike in order to do their dirty work for them.
The Fed
are running scared after the ISM data.
There's a lot of talk about a Fed interest rate hike this month in September. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to put my neck on the line here. It's not going to happen this month. One thing we've seen the Federal Reserve do is they delayed their decisions until the end of the year. I think they will raise rates in December again. But we won't see anything happening this month, and I'm willing to put my neck on the line on that, and we'll see what happens.
I'm willing to put your neck on the line as well. China trade data has been better. Do we believe China's data figures in general?
Who knows anymore? The fact is that the Chinese are so secretive. They've said things before. We can hardly believe them about the reserves of gold, apparently, wasn't as high as we expected. I'll be honest with you, Zach, your guess is as good as mine on this one.
Right. And then just finally, we've seen a big draw in U.S. crude inventories, biggest since 1999. On the crude front, what are we hoping for?
One of the things that very rarely people talk about is the whole Iran situation, because there seems to be some visual thinking on the part of many oil bulls, people who are bullish on oil. They seem to think that somehow we can just ignore Iran out of the picture. There's no way. Iran is just about, they've got this new deal now with America. Most of the sanctions have now been removed. They're looking to pump more oil, increase oil production. Whatever people are going to say, no, they're not going to produce oil. They don't have the infrastructure yet to do the refining. You got to put Iran into the equation. And that's going to confuse things a lot. So I personally think that I wouldn't get too wishful thinking and bullish on oil just yet, purely because of the Iran situation. They're going to increase oil production. So I wouldn't be surprised. And here's the thing, Zach. We have support on oil right now at the lows we formed back about a month ago or a couple of months back. I think the support was at $35. If we take out that level, that support, we should probably see oil heading down to $25, $26. So that's a level I'd watch. I don't want to make any predictions on what's going to happen to oil, but I would watch that level. If we break the 35 level lows, or at the very least, if we break 40, then we're going to see 35, potentially may even see low 30s, $30 or $25.
Well, let's go through the slides of the day. Most popular in business and finance, Twitter takeover speculation gathers pace. That's a story that we were talking about a couple of months ago.
Yeah, we were.
And disappointing growth there, the threat of Snapchat, and probably the biggest problem they've got is they're not making any money, which can be a problem.
What really interests me Zach, is this update on Twitter. As you said correctly, we were talking about Twitter only like a month or two.
As soon as LinkedIn was taken over.
That was the time to buy Twitter. There's an you know this, everyone knows this, buy on the rumor, sell on the news. By the time this people are talking about a takeover, it's already, this is already priced in. Investors already pricing in the potential of a takeover. So time to buy was 2 months ago. If you haven't bought Twitter yet, wait for a September, October sell-off and then buy Twitter at a lower price.
The UK's biggest house builders shrug off Brexit vote. Barratt Developments, Redrow and Berkeley Group, three of the UK's top 10 house builders, said they had seen little sign of a lasting post-referendum slump, and that is from The Guardian.
All I would say about that is, look, it's a little too early. How long has it been since Brexit? Almost 60 days, I think it's been. So can anyone really judge what's really going to be the effect of Brexit in just 60 days? I don't think so. What do you think?
Well, the Bank of England had a go. But let's have a go at the next slide, which you would have seen a couple of hours ago if you were watching the early edition of The Finance Show. Asian markets succumbed to profit-taking, though both Shanghai and Hong Kong still managed to make headway. Chinese trade data surprises on the upside, with the first year-on-year increase in dollar imports in almost 2 years, while dollar exports fall less than expected. And then oil rises as API data suggests the biggest drop in crude inventory since 1999. Awaiting confirmation from DOE data at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Liberty Media agreed to acquire Formula One for $4.4 billion. The racing calendar may be extended to include virtual contests, rather. Quarter to one today, we've got the ECB rate decision, where it is the rate and size of the QE program which seems to be in question. Both growth and inflation forecasts are likely to be trimmed. Press conference at 1:30 our time. On to commentary from Nicole Elliott from the Investors Chronicle. UK house prices slipped, nothing alarming, but Halifax Building Society noted that nationwide house prices slipped by 2.2%, taking the annualised rate of growth to 6.9% from 8.4% in July, the slowest pace of growth in a couple of years. And it's resulted in central London landlords, who we all feel very concerned about, have flooded the market with properties for rent.
I can hardly feel any sympathy for those landlords, considering that a lot of people have started, you know, just before Brexit, we saw that huge increase in buying of rental properties purely because a lot of folks were wanting to buy properties before the stamp duty new law came in. I don't feel any sympathy for them. The bottom line is, as a contrarian, you need to wait for, I never get in when the herd is getting in. So let's see what happens. There's a good friend of mine who's a property developer. He said that if you're a landlord in London, you're actually more likely to lose money than if you were somebody, you know, actually. A lot of landlords are right now losing money because of the fact that yields are so low and you got high prices.
Yeah, but they're relying on the property prices, property price going up to cover.
Well, that's the old fool's theory. It's always the, you know, there's another next fool you can sell it on to at a higher price.
Okay, well, let's move along to the economic calendar, ECB rate decision, and initial jobless claims, continuing claims, natural gas storage change, and crude oil inventories from the US.
Right.
Colin Twiggs, the author of the popular Trading Daily newsletter, further falls in nominal GDP below 2.43% per annum from the second quarter, now appear likely. So the situation there looks like we're heading, well, not towards recession, but it's slowing down anyway there.
Yeah.
Sentiment, we've got silver rather, at the top of the pile, 77%, which is typical of what we've had for the last few months. Oanda clients are long dollar yen against the recent move, long the dollar Canadian, and surprisingly not that long of gold now. They've cooled off a bit of that. And then on the other end of the scale, they've gone more bearish on sterling towards the top of the recent range and also of the euro.
As a matter of fact, I'm also bullish on dollar yen, but what I'm interested in this data is the fact that they're so bearish, or not so, I wouldn't say so bearish, but certainly pound dollar is in the lower range of sentiment. So that's good news for pound dollar, the fact that there isn't a lot of bullish sentiment on it, because I think I heard one of your guests say earlier that they're expecting pound to go higher. I agree with that. We'll come to that in a few moments.
Okay, let's move on to Tip TV trade of the day. Buy the dip in Aussie Kiwi on the basis of bullish divergence. The entry level around 103, objective 104.35, and stops below 102.50. Nice bounce off that support line there from the end of last month. Mining sector recovery from Kieran Hodgson, from Pamela Gordon, a great recovery since January. Hard to know how much more is left in the tank. Copper unlikely to see any relief due to oversupply situation, low-cost production.
It always makes me laugh when I hear news like this, you know, mining sector recovery. By the time, you know, the thing is, we've been saying, I came on this show months ago saying, look, gold stocks are cheap, they're good value to buy. At the time, when you said that, people would laugh at you, say, what are you talking about? I mean, it's like, it's doomed, gold mining is doomed. But now you hear things like this, it makes me want to actually take a step back and think twice about getting into gold mining and actually sell any profits people have made on this so far. So,
okay, let's move on to...
And here they are. Actually, some of these are in our top 10 goals.
Stellar run continues and frustrates UK-only investors with the lack of appropriate investable options. As prices continue to rise, we remain cautious of producers, particularly those such as Glencore, sticking to their promise of curtailing supplies. And next slide, we hope. A number of gold names.
Stuff in here.
Yes, Randgold and Acacia in particular trading on valuations that suggest far higher gold prices than spot. Randgold assuming $2,100.
I should just say for the viewers, the two gold stocks which should have been mentioned, which are not on this list, is Royal Gold and Franco Nevada. Those are gold royalty stocks. Much safer and better value, as a matter of fact, than gold mining. Gold mining sector is too risky. Gold royalty stocks at least have the advantage that you're not getting yourself into something, you don't have much exposure to risk. But that's something for another time. We don't have much time for that.
Okay, let's go on to broker recommendations. BAT in focus on the basis of the big target hike there from £40 to £52 to see where the share price is at the moment. But that is a shares currently at £48.75. So a little bit to go there on the target there. EasyJet looking interesting on a charting perspective at the moment. Mm-hmm. Just set to break near-term resistance at the £12 level. That's been the post-Brexit resistance on that stock, so we'll see if that breaks that. The target there actually right on resistance. And then Sports Direct in focus with Mike Ashley's pockets full of money, full of cash, which was reported widely in the press yesterday. Shares have already recovered quite a lot. 300 pence is the hold is the target there, and the hold recommendation from Jefferies. And finally, we've got your slide, Alessio.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been itching to show this, and what you're seeing here, guys, is something I think you should pay close attention to, because whereas we just saw earlier the slide that the dumb money is bearish or not very interested in pound dollar, but look at the smart money. Smart money position, insiders are right now record long on the British currency, and that's been going on now for a few months, a few weeks now. The last time insiders or the smart money were this bullish on the British pound, and this data is courtesy of Jason Gephardt, you can see it over there. Last periods when the when insiders were bullish, this bullish on the pound, we saw bottoms forming in the pound. My top tip today is consider a position of going long on the pound, and we'll talk about that later in the show, hopefully.
Okay, Alessio Rustani from LeadingTrader.com. Thank you very much for opening the Tip TV Finance Show for us today. We'll be back with Josh Mahoney from IG Index after the break.